Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's all get on the same page here. Trust you with the nest. There's a big emphasis on the idea after yesterday that Joe Flacco is winning the early part of the quarterback battle. Is that fair?
Very fair. I mean, Zach Jackson said as much. And then basically anybody that was there yesterday felt like they were very, very impressed with the arm talent that Joe Flacco still has.
Which is funny because that was the one thing I just never doubt about him.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like,
well, that's like an older guy with a jump shot, right? It's like MJ could still have, he still has a shot. He's still wet from three if you need him to be. It's just, can he do everything else?
I just think
his
legs are failing him. On one hand, we're saying, hey, let's not make a big deal out of anything that happened with the rookie yesterday. And we're also then being like, Flacco's winning the quarterback battle early.
And so this is what I think is hysterical about it, but I'm also trying to then navigate it within myself, right? Because if 24 hours ago you were to tell me to place my bet on who I thought was going to be the starter week one, I would have said it's more Kenny Pickett than it is Joe Flacco. We haven't seen these guys throw, obviously. We haven't been around. We don't know what's exactly going on because they've limited that type of stuff for us. And then yesterday happens, and it's as if Kenny Pickett and the two rookies, and listen, Shador had a good day for himself as well. There's acknowledgement attached to that.
Gotta get that in.
Well, we have to. Well, I mean, I could also bring up Dylan Gabriel getting knocked down at the line as if anybody could see that coming for a 5'10" quarterback, but that's either here nor there.
The internet tells me that was about Mason Graham and not about tiny baby Dylan Gabriel.
We're on two different internets, I guess.
Because there's many different internets.
Well, the dark web. The dark web had it all
that's
on.
That's where I was at.
The height problems. Really.
I was actually on the dark web and they were like, Mason Graham's just good at football. Just wait till he gets pads on.
I like that. That's where the dark web exists for Mason Graham takes.
And then they also tried to sell me the nuclear codes.
I was waiting.
It started. They
you get some of that pink
they
cocaine.
They Trojan horsed me. Yeah. With the Mason Graham take, and I was like, "All right, how harmful can this really be?" And then they're like, "Would you like to buy the nuke?"
Yeah.
Codes?
Well, you know,
and I was like, "Whoa!"
Yeah. It's like how people will be like, "Hey, children, do you want the piece of candy?"
Yeah.
Like that's they know that's your version of. Offering a 10-year-old a piece of candy from a shady truck is, hey, Mason Graham, well, good. Let's will you enter?
You could
will
also
you come on in.
Well, you could also just offer me candy. That also works on me too.
Yeah,
it works on 10-year-olds and it works on 39-year-old fat men.
So the point is that Joe Flacco seemed to have won the day, but more importantly, it seems like he can make every throw under the sun. And because he made one big long completed pass to Jerry Jeudy, it feels like everyone wants to say, okay, the competition's over. He's going to be your week one starter. And it's a wild, wild leap for one day of 11-on-11. And some practice.
So we can be that guy together. We can all just say like it's one day.
Yeah, which is what we should do.
Like let's just chill on this. Like the amount of listen, I have no problem if you just want to say like Shador looked good, Gabriel looked good, this guy looked good, but like it's like if you talk to anybody that was actually there and watched the quarterbacks yesterday, you're going to get a different set of rankings. Like, I know Jason apparently had Shador 2 and Flacco 1.
Yeah.
So Jason Lord of The Athletic, want to give him a little bit of love there. 92.3 The Fan as well. If I talk to Zach, I bet you his rankings would be different. If I then talk to Daryl, I guarantee you their rankings would be different. And, man, by the way, that's just part and parcel. Like, I think analyzing where we are is okay, but, like, it always was logical that Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco would get the reps and look better. Because of where we are in the calendar, I think it's going to be a hell of a lot more noteworthy if the other two quarterbacks in the quarterback kerfuffle don't make it until camp. Like, that'll be telling. If Shador and Dylan Gabriel are kind of, I don't say excommunicated, but if they're moved off to the side and the quarterback battle simply becomes Pickett versus Flacco, okay, well then the rookies just didn't step up in the way you would hope they would. And the vets continue to get better and continue to be who we think they already are.
Well, and so that brings in another part of this equation, too. There was a lot of Shador fans yesterday that were like, well, what more can he possibly do? It's like, well, it was 7-on-7s. It's going to take more than one day for him to all of a sudden, the next time we have access to Shador, to have him all of a sudden be doing 11-on-11. And I do wonder at what point he's going to start to force some of those conversations. But as of right now, it feels like it's going to be Pickett first, Flacco, and the early edge based off of yesterday and what people saw is Flacco's got the lead.
So I want to get to the Shador part of this. And Mary Kay said something really interesting today with the Morning Boys about what the Browns were doing with Shador yesterday. But I understand why anybody wants to go first on the moon. The real quarterback competition is Pickett versus Flacco. I totally get that you want to make that, and maybe there's some I was right there. You want to be able to say 2 months from now, see, I told you that's what this is. I think there absolutely is a Kenny Pickett versus Joe Flacco battle, and I don't think it's just for the starting quarterback. I think that's one tentacle of it. I think those two guys are facing off for who's actually going to be the veteran quarterback on this roster after the first week of September. I think that's the real competition. And so, and by the way, you can win that and still not win the starting quarterback job.
What do you mean you can win that and not win the starting quarterback job?
I think it's Kenny Pickett versus Joe Flacco for who's going to be the veteran quarterback on this roster. And then until proven otherwise, it's Pickett versus Flacco versus Shador versus Gabriel for the starting job. So Joe just has to outperform Kenny Pickett and vice versa to be on the roster. But I still think, like, even though the rookies have a much bigger uphill climb to win the week one starting job,
mm-hmm.
I still think they have a chance. And I think
good. So you're not closing the door shut on that.
No, and I would actually say yesterday Zach saying a 4% chance for each rookie. I think that's low. I don't know.
That's kind of where my mindset is at, and for a couple different reasons. Not just the idea that if you throw the rookie in there, he's got to be so much better, but also how tough it is early on in that schedule too.
See, I don't think if you're the Browns, you can worry about that. I know why you're, and I think it's a fair point to say, hey, young dude. Those are tough teams. Those are tough things to win. If there's ever been a year just to throw guys into the fire, if they've earned it, it's this year, right? Because Shador or Dylan Gabriel is going to have to be so much better than anyone else to get this job. There's a part of me that's like, well, damn the torpedoes. If they're good enough, so if Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett have to be 100% to win their part of the battle, then I think Shador Dylan has to be 110%, which I think is fair.
Right.
I understand why the Browns are thinking that way. You have to be better. The tie or something close to the tie goes directly to the veterans, and that's just how football works in general, let alone a quarterback kerfuffle with four guys. That said, like at some point, if they're drastically better and they continue to progress, what are we doing here? What are we waiting for? I'm not waiting for 2026. If they look ready, just put them in, and they might struggle. That's fine. I'd rather watch Shador struggle than what I think is going to be a yo-yo effect for either Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco, where Joe's going to make a couple big plays in one game and get a win, and then the next he's going to make a couple bad big plays, and you're going to lose because of it.
Ideal scenario for me the entire time has been that you throw Shador gets thrown out there in the very beginning, wins the job, takes the job for the rest of time. But the point is that if he struggles and 6, 7, 8 weeks into the season, you're like, this guy just doesn't have it. Like, we gave him enough of a runway, he doesn't have it. It does give you enough time to then go to Dylan Gabriel. And that's the part I do like. So you would be able to see both quarterbacks. Conversely, if Dylan Gabriel wins the job and he starts it off, I would want enough time to see Shador in week 7, week 8, or whatever that is, in order to have that parachute if they don't work.
See, I'd look at it the other way. But if Shador or Dylan wins week 1, I want to give him 17 games.
Whoever wins week 1 gets all 17?
That would be the intent. It doesn't mean that's going to be the end result because things can happen.
No, I mean, it's got to be the intent.
My goal is to give him as much runway as possible simply because at the end of that season, I want to have as much to work on with Shador or Dylan Gabriel and even Kenny Pickett, in fairness, if he ends up winning the job, so that I can make the best decision at the end of the season I possibly can.
So I don't think all 17 would be the intent if you make Joe Flacco the week 1 starter, though.
No, God, no. No, it's get you to the bye at best. Unless you're winning. And that winning's always kind of the thing in the back there that could hypothetically happen. 216-474-0092. And Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. So Flacco apparently winning the early part of the quarterback battle. Is the quarterback kerfuffle really between Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco? I just think it's incredibly early to say that. I'm going to use the word fluid. It feels very fluid. Quick hits coming up at 2:40. Chris Fedor had some interesting things to say about the Cavs roster construction going forward, the availability of Jared Allen and Darius Garland. That's coming up at 3 with feeds. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, MLB columnist, Odyssey, MLB insider at 420. We'll talk his take on the Gardos and how many bats is the right amount of bats that this team needs. The lead coming up at 5. Shenanigans will ensue, but 216-474-0092. Is Pickett versus Flacco the real competition? And were the Browns hiding Shedeur Sanders yesterday? Kind of an interesting idea we have to get to in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. He was the second quarterback drafted, and the vets always get a preferential treatment anyway. So it makes sense that you'd go the vets 1 and 2, and then Dylan Gabriel, and then Shedeur, especially in voluntary OTAs, right? Especially the vets are going to show up, which is nice. That I just thought all veterans took it off, right? But turns out Joe Flacco went. Turns out other veterans actually did show up.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, across the NFL, and this is kind of, we touched on it a little bit yesterday, where it was like, I wonder if they were a really good team, how they would look at this. Mm-hmm. Like, you notice Justin Jefferson has showed up for his in Minnesota. One of the best wide receivers in the game showed up. It's like, why? Well, because he's got to make a new connection with J.J. McCarthy, right? Like, there's like things they have to work on.
Yeah.
They're trying to be really competitive this year. So I think it's a case-by-case basis. But yeah, there definitely are some veterans that show up.
But I think there was this idea. There's one element of what Mary Kay said, and this is just kind of like a word of warning and a word of caution. Focus on what matters, right? Take care of what you can actually control. If they're hiding Shedeur to try and limit the buzz or to dissuade or distract or take away something from something, whether that's about teaching Shedeur something or whether that's about teaching his fans that, like, we're not going to deal with your show here, whatever it is, it sure seems like a distraction from winning. Right, like Shedeur can only be a distraction if you let him be a distraction. If you're like, we're going to hide Shedeur away, we're not going to give him any 11-on-11 reps because we got to show people that this is not the Shedeur show. I can't imagine why you're focusing on that in mini camps instead of just in OTAs instead of just competing.
Listen, I don't think it was intentional, but I wouldn't put it past him. You know, yeah, like, I mean, it seems like, and just in knowing how they've operated and how they've done things, they always give off the impression that they don't care, but it seems like they always end up caring about these little things.
Well, and specific to Shedeur, like, I'm going to go ahead and imagine, I'm a creative guy, so maybe I'm just imagining this, maybe it's something more than I'm just imagining it. I'm going to imagine that there was a conversation about the show that happens around Shedeur when the Browns drafted him,
mm-hmm,
and how he's expected to be.
Yeah.
Which again, in a way, a little offensive to a guy who's grown up in football and seems to be as savvy with the media as Shedeur Sanders is. But again, if that is true, if that's what the Browns are doing at any point, we gotta tame the show around Shedeur. Like, that's not in the pursuit of winning.
But once again, trying to have control over something that they just don't have control
exactly
over.
Exactly. And that's there's an ambitiousness of the Browns' plans this offseason that might be the poison pill within what they're trying to do, which is they're trying to run a genuine quarterback competition with four quarterbacks who each have a ding on them in one way or another, whether it's size with Dylan Gabriel, whether it's the show with Shedeur, right? Whether it's Kenny Pickett's tiny baby hands and his lack of success. He had team success. But his lack of touchdowns in Pittsburgh. With Joe, it's being old as hell. It's enough to try and do that. And then, hey, we're trying to develop these quarterbacks. And, oh, yeah, we're also trying to win at the same time.
So here's where I'd give him credit. Because, like, if I was listening to Stefanski, listening to us, I'd be like, it's a little unfair only because when you have four quarterbacks like this, most teams just don't have any passes for someone that's the fourth quarterback. Nonetheless, try to even have the audacity to pull off a four quarterback competition. Like, they're doing two different fields. They're running drills in two different sets. They brought 90 guys in total. Like, they're trying. I know a lot of Shedeur fans felt like they got slighted over this, but like, they're trying to give Shedeur at least opportunities. It might not be an 11-on-11 like people dreamed up, but right now he is the fourth quarterback.
I can't put it past this team to, the day when the media is there, put the quarterbacks in positions so that it looks like Flacco versus Pickett, to distract us from the fact that it's a four quarterback race. Like, I think Lima this morning said, you got to whittle this down to three quarterbacks at some point. I think Daryl, when he was with us yesterday, said, we really got to get to the two guys that are going to have the main chance to win. And the reality is, no, you don't.
Well, the messaging didn't work if that's what they were trying to do next.
Well, but okay.
Because the messaging left yesterday with Flacco has the best arm out of everyone there, and wow, can he still throw it?
Well, and I think the other message was there were people who came away impressed with the little they did see of Shador.
Yeah, they did.
And I just think if you're trying to, if on top of again, it's ambitious to do a four-person quarterback battle while developing two young quarterbacks at the same time and assess their readiness and try and win. This is a big thing they're trying to do. I don't think we should underscore how ambitious that this plan is. So if you add one more stone to that pile of weight you're trying to accomplish here, which is, oh, and we got to go ahead and make sure we snuff out any of the shahype, as it were, don't. Set yourself.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Free. Who gives a rip? Like,
well, I mean, the Browns themselves had to be surprised that people were charting OTA throws and making it as big of a deal as it was. I mean, we've been doing this a while, Nick. I can't remember a time where people were charting OTA throws this.
Didn't Elliott Shore Parks do that it wasn't with Jalen. It might have been with Jalen in Philly.
If he did, I don't remember it. But we got like one example maybe.
Part of what he did last year in camp with saying how bad the offense looked?
If he did, I don't remember it. Was that this portion too? I mean, or was that even just later on in camp?
That was the joint practices.
That was the joint practices. Yeah, that is a little bit different. The joint practices, we've seen people do some of that. This is voluntary OTAs. Like it's May and people are doing this. No way the Browns thought that was going
to
happen.
So this does lead us to a question. And I think it's fair right now because they're the two most popular quarterbacks in that room. So I'm not asking nationally who's more popular because there's one guy that's going to take that easily. But in Cleveland right now, who do you think is more popular, Shador or Joe?
I think it's still Shador, but I it's tough because Shador hasn't had a chance to prove anything to Browns fans. So, if there's a Browns fan that loves Shador, it's not based off of anything he's done in a Browns uniform, whereas Joe Flacco obviously did things in a Browns uniform. So there's going to be an elevated stature to Joe Flacco. But I don't think people are looking at Joe Flacco like he's here for the longest time, so I don't know that they'd be as committed to Joe.
Listen, this is by no means the end-all, be-all. We all talk to people. We all come across people in our lives. I know you talk a lot about how you like to, your father-in-law will quiz you on stuff, right? The number one name that I heard over the weekend at the cookout, and even when I went to drop my one of my kiddos off at a different cookout that we weren't going to, but
yeah,
it was Joe Flacco. And it was really interesting to hear. Like, I think the tried and true, like the devil dogs, us, the guys who watch everything. Yeah,
this is different. This is different from my experience. All right, go ahead.
But every person, especially out in the boonies where I live, everybody's invested in Joe getting this job because they haven't set sail on this season. Like they think Joe's going to lead them to the playoffs this year.
Oh man, I have not experienced the same conversations you have. Then
alcohol fueled, at least on my side. If that helps,
was that it? I wanted it,
because I believe at one point somebody was like, "Man, I think Joe's going to take us to the playoffs this year." And
really?
I was a little.
I would have knocked the alcohol off their hand and said, "You've had enough. You've been overserved, sir."
They were sober, and I was not. And I said, "Are you bleeping kidding me?"
But that, in college, I bought a breathalyzer at one point, and we went around and we would just like breathalyze each other and see how high you can get, basically. Yeah. I would have gone back to those days and been like, you're gonna three times, four times the legal limit with that take.
You're legally dead.
You might That's be close how much to I'm, dead.
Well, no, but I think they're not casual Browns fans, but to Browns fans who do not follow the rest of the league, the last thing they remember of Joe Flacco It's not the. It's not like it's nobody
they,
remembers
they don't
the
remember
Texans
the Indianapolis
the Texans
stuff
game.
At all, though. That's the thing is well, they like all
and they
last
don't remember
year
the Texans game either.
They act as if Joe Flacco just went to the beach. He was in Cancun for all last season and didn't actually play football.
He's just chilling.
He just hung out. Maybe the couch that the Browns picked him off of. He just went back to the couch, took a couple naps, and that was his 2024 season.
Given some of the elected officials, I would stay away from couches in the state of Ohio. But that's neither here nor there. 216-474-0092. You guys can vote on this right now.
He had a good time.
Who is more popular?
Can't speak for the couch.
And, well, who is more popular in Cleveland right now, Shedeur Sanders or Joe Flacco? Very early on here, but Joe's got a slight lead, about 46-43.
I mean, if we did the thing where you had, like, I don't know, 50,000 people all at Brown Stadium, and they all got tickets for an autograph from each, you think Joe Flacco's line would be longer than Shedeur Sanders' line?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know.
If it skews young people are going to go to Shedeur Sanders. But I...
Oh, is that the split? Well, like 35 and younger are all Shedeur, and then 35 and older would all be Joe Flacco?
There's a couple more splits we can get into there that I don't think we should. But I also will say there's a lot of leeriness of Shedeur because of his popularity, but because of the perceived sideshow that goes on with it. So I guarantee you there are people who, when they hear us say, the Browns hired Shedeur yesterday, they're like, hell yeah. I don't want any of the show out there for my team.
So, but this isn't a debate about who is the most, who's even the best football player. This is just about who's the most popular, which I think some people might confuse in this discussion. Like it's like you brought up Anna Kournikova yesterday, which is like the third time I've heard a reference this week. It's like Anna Kournikova,
very talented.
She was nowhere close to the number one tennis player, but people remember her for so many years. Why?
She was closer to the number one tennis player than I was.
Yes, she
that's
was.
How I always framed it.
And that's very true. But she was at certain points, she was the most popular women's tennis player, while not being anywhere close to being the best tennis player. Like Shedeur might end up in that bucket where he's wildly popular and nowhere close to being the very best at the sport.
Cleveland Spark saying the future is now old man. That's all I got. I'm assuming they voted Shedeur Sanders. But I don't know if they're old manning me or Joe Flacco, but we got that. That's the early return.
You guys
so far
are like the same age, aren't you? You're 39, he's 40.
No,
so
he's a year
older than you?
I mean, he is. He was born in,
he's 40 on the dot now, right? Maybe is he entering his age 41 season?
I was born in, born 85, baby. But the beginning part of 85.
So you guys are very close in age. So remember that every time you make old jokes
but we're
about
not
Joe
the
Flacco.
Same sign. And I just think that's what's held us apart this whole time.
Not the same sign.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Libra. He's whatever the hell. Born January. He's the same sign as my twinny babes.
I didn't know you were a horoscope guy.
I'm not, but I can be.
You are in this discussion. I'll
horoscope.
Say that.
Horoscope. Let's see here. I don't even know what the astrological sign is here. This is riveting radio.
I'm a Taurus for whatever it's worth. And any woman,
I drove one of those ones.
If I went on a date and she was like, "So what's your sign?" I'd be like, "Well, this date's over."
He's a Capricorn. Ambitious, practical, and have a strong sense of purpose. Meanwhile, as a Libra, I'm balanced, diplomatic, and seek harmony. Well, that's totally you. Some of that's true, but not most of it.
That's totally you.
Everybody, when they think about Nick Wilson,
so
they're like,
balanced.
That guy
so balanced.
Seeks
harmony.
Harmony. Like, that's the when they're like, Nick Wilson, harmony. It's like the word association game, harmony is like number one there.
If anyone brings balance to this radio station, it's Nick Wilson.
That's true, because I balance out the rest of the weight. It's like, it's JP, Mac, and Jake on one side of the scale, and then I'm there balancing you out. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you.
So you're surprised, though, that this is actually a conversation.
I'm surprised you're hearing it. I haven't heard the same things at all. And it doesn't mean there's obviously a million different Browns fans out there, and they're all going to have their opinions. I think it's really hard because Shedeur hasn't played a game yet. I also think this conversation will be entirely different 7-8 weeks into the season.
Shedeur will be the most popular Cleveland Brown over Browns quarterback over Joe Flacco after Joe has 2 or 3 bad games. And Shedeur's the number two. Actually, I think Shedeur has to be the number two quarterback to be the most popular quarterback in Cleveland if Joe struggles at any point.
Up until yesterday, I really didn't get much hype around Joe Flacco, though. Zach, he talked a lot about how good Joe looked, and that's reshaping a lot of things because he was there and he saw it. But, I mean, I was always under the assumption Kenny Pickett was going to win the gig, and then we were going to eventually have Shedeur and Dylan Gabriel after that. But, I mean, that's... It's different.
Who is the more popular quarterback in Cleveland right now? Shedeur Sanders or Joe Flacco. We'll have more on that. And quick hits leads off with one of the Browns' best players asking very deep question. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry.
It's quick hits.
Browns receiver Jerry Jeudy, very favorable reviews of him yesterday. Helps when Joe Flacco's throwing somebody the ball, but he posted a deep question on his Twitter account. Quote, quick question, why everything be so negative on Twitter, end quote. So,
I mean, welcome to the show.
JP, Jerry, I got to ask you here.
Welcome to the show.
Why everything be so negative on Twitter?
Why is water wet? I mean, these are just, it's one of life's questions. It's just, it's the reality we live in, Jerry. Okay. The platform is the platform. It's never going to change. You can create all the blue skies in the world. You can, all the threads that you want. It's going to be a nasty place. That's the mud that it exists in, and it doesn't want to be anything different.
Well, specific to Twitter, it's because there's an algorithm that feeds into the, that basically creates a hate vacuum where it feeds negativity into negativity. And so, for instance, if you posted something positive and then something negative at the same time, the negative thing is likely to get like five times more interaction than the positive thing. That to me screams nefarious workings behind the scenes and taking advantage of the worst side of humanity.
Well, and even just on like a tinier level, what I've noticed is that maybe this is just too deep into the analytics of it all, but here we go. So, like, if somebody tweets something like, man, I just cannot stand, I'll use Jake in this instance, I can't stand Jake.
Some people have been saying it.
And then you get, like, it gets, like, six or seven likes because it's like, oh, my gosh. Like, I mean, it's no one's ever talking about Jake that way. Let's go ahead and like that bad boy up. And then you get, like, six, seven, eight likes or whatever. And then that person understands throughout a row of tweets that get zero engagement that, oh, all I got to do is talk trash about this person, and all of a sudden I got engagement, and then it just becomes a never-ending cycle of just, oh, that's how I rage bait, essentially, and you get people to get all fired up.
Hashtag analytics.
Omaha!
Dove Kleiman.
That crazy bastard.
You talk about somebody that just stockpiling the mean streets of Twitter. He put out here, he goes, uh-oh, Browns defensive end, he talks about Oboe here, liking a post on IG that talked about Myles Garrett not being a good leader for the team, the post criticizing Myles for being in Japan and not at OTAs. Oboe's responded and says Myles is a great teammate and leader, saw the post, thought these guys literally didn't have a clue what's going on, and this post supported that. He says, if you're bored, go exercise.
So
Oboe's going at Dove for being misrepresented.
But that he wasn't misrepresented. He liked... Like,
so that's where it gets a little dicey.
I just have some balls, guys. All right? I just, this whole idea of, I've been taken out of context, you're grown men. Right? Like, good God. No, you like to post bleep-talking Myles Garrett. We've interviewed Oboe. I like the interactions, the brief interactions we've had with Oboe. I really like that guy. Love his story.
Yeah.
Love watching him play football, the way. I think he's perfect for the wide nine. Grow a set, dude. I mean, come on. You can't handle somebody pointing it out. You have to know. Oh, he's a great teammate. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
I think he realized that was not a good thing to do. Right? Like, he just realized. This isn't
he
doing
didn't
damage.
Realize that it's before him
doing
damage. It.
It's him doing damage control, I think. I want to know if someone at the Browns was like, hey, you might want to get in front of this one.
That's another thing. Why are we? No. Why?
Or was it on his own accord? Was he like, maybe I messed up here I want to right this wrong?
I mean, what are we doing? It's like when Stefanski said four quarterbacks. With Ken and Anthony. And then in every other interview that same Friday, he was talking about five quarterbacks. Why do you guys feed into this? Like, how much energy can you give to just nonsense? Yeah, Oboe liked to post. And, .. moving on. But the more, oh, wait, no, what I really meant was, this is about lazy asses on Twitter. Just grow a set. Good God. I just have never, like, this organization, when they were 0-16, didn't care about what was said about them. Now they're coming off 3-14. They're like, hey, we really got to punch up our image here. You know how you do that? Don't go 3-14.
Do you want people? Which is probably going to be hard if you look at all the expectations and projections that people have on this.
When there are obvious ways to grade you in your career or whatever, the easiest thing to do is just succeed. But I just find it antithetical. The amount of time that human beings waste trying to control narratives that they have no control over. And teams do this all the time. The Browns have really gotten into this habit. It's like, guys, if For love of God, he liked a tweet. He liked Instagram.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again. See ya. A monster two-run home run.
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos. This game is over.
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
That makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Post. We can all infer what it means. Sorry, that's something I didn't expect that to set me off as much.
That's
as it
okay.
Did.
Well, we also don't know that they asked him to do it. That was just us guessing if they asked him to do it. We don't know that.
I'm gonna guess that he. I'm
gonna think he probably got asked to do it, but we don't know that for sure.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, as evidence in Padres analyst Mark Mud Grant doing his best impression of the great Tom Hamilton earlier this week.
I can just hear our good friend Tom Hamilton swung on and belted. Angel Martinez. Puts the Guardians ahead.
Okay, not bad at the end there. I didn't like the swung on and belted. I thought that was missing. And then at the end, he kind of had it.
I think, I think Hammy does a really good job of yelling without yelling. Like, my favorite thing about him is he clearly raises his voice in moments of excitement.
Yeah.
I think Mudd was yelling a little too much.
He keeps that as high as it. Well, I think he was just trying to get to where Hammy lives.
Like, it's
which is not an easy thing to do.
No, I think Hammy. Hammy's instrument, his voice is perfectly, it's like the only times you really hear his voice crack are...
No, it doesn't crack, but he lives at a higher octave than most do. Like, that's why I was describing the him being flabbergasted by the Angel Martinez almost bunt on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why it stood out initially is because I thought someone hit a home run at first. I was like...
Is it like our friend Will Palachuk?
It was very Will Palachuk.
Who lives at Mickey Mouse levels of voice.
Is Angel thinking about bunting now? And then I got into it. It was like, what happened there? But it was great. I loved it. But I like Hammy calls, so it is what it is.
I think it's a B-minus Hammy impersonation.
I thought at the end, I thought he got there. I thought the very first, the swung on a miss, that was tough. That wasn't very good. But by the end, I heard a little bit of it.
If you flip it and reverse it, so he starts strong and then faded, do you give him a better or worse grade?
Have you seen the guy on TikTok that does Hammy calls?
No.
So he doesn't actually do the call itself in like him reenacting it, but he'll do the mannerisms attached to it all, and he'll go through, and he's got like these really elaborate, like his way of doing it. He's wildly popular on TikTok. He's got hundreds of thousands of followers, and he's driven himself into the Hammy lane because he realizes all his best videos are all Tom Hamilton calls.
Mm.
Hundreds of thousands of views.
We could be TikTok famous with that same thing. We missed the boat there.
They're always saying about us.
Maybe the next life.
Just missing the boat. Thunder to the finals. Could Shai Gilgeous-Alexander surpass Kevin Durant as the Thunder's best player?
You win a championship. It's got to, right?
Well, that's what I guess. So they're heavy favorites as of right now. My friends in the desert are heavy into the Thunder winning this title. If you win the title, that ends that discussion.
Yeah. Over Russ, over...
I mean, Durant was still there for 9-10 years. Durant was there for a long time. Did make it to an NBA finals. Did Durant win an MVP with the Thunder?
I think so.
I believe he did, right? It would make sense if he did. That time of him, Westbrook, Harden, I mean, that was everything for Thunder basketball in the Oklahoma City time. So it's very hard to, you know, take that over. But SGA winning the MVP and winning the finals, 68-win season, what is going to turn out to be a legendary all-time team if they actually pull it off, which sounds funny to say, but it's true. I think he might supplant them in one big season.
Can you believe SGA already has played 6 years in OKC?
I think we did this the other day, and maybe it wasn't with you. Maybe it was with somebody else where they asked, like, I think it was you. It's like, how many years has SGA been in the league? And I was like, wait, it's been 6 years there?
7 years in the NBA, 6 years in OKC.
Yeah, that's what we got to. I think I guessed 4 or 5 when we did that. It's a lot longer than you'd think.
So I think...
Because he's 25 or 26.
He's 26, yeah. So I like with Durant, math is really hard.
9 years in OKC.
Thank you, research assistant Mac. So he spent 9 years in OKC. Actually, they include... Actually, it's only 8 years because they had the 1 year in Seattle, too. So 8 years... They sniffed the finals, but they didn't win the finals. Yeah. I think SGA with it, he absolutely should, by the way. And I don't think SGA's ever leaving. I think that's a very...
We say that now.
I think that's a very polite young Canadian man who's quite content in OKC.
It just never seems to work out that way these days in the NBA.
But
although we might end up getting there. I mean, listen, Giannis is obviously on the way out of Milwaukee. Do we get there with Jokic? Does he stay with Denver the entire time?
Yeah, I know. So it's interesting you asked that. I saw somebody had mocked a Jokic to the Lakers trade.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, the last place on the planet I could see Nikola Jokic in is L.A. He would hate everything about it. He can't horse race there. Well, not legally, anyways.
Omaha!
A Tigers grounds crew member had to be carted off the field during the seventh inning stretch of Detroit's matchup last night with the Giants after suffering a non-contact injury while raking, of all things. So this allows us to ask the question, have you ever been hurt on the job?
Wait, did you see what the guy did to the camera?
Flipped the camera off, yeah.
That was really funny.
Very classy moment, by the way, by the trainer, of just being like, let's put that away, friend.
Have I ever been hurt doing sports talk radio?
No, doing a job in general.
Okay.
Is this the only job you've ever had?
It's the only adult job I've ever had. I mean, I was a server, but that wasn't, you know.
Did you ever get hurt serving?
That wasn't really anything more than, I wouldn't call that an adult job in any sort of way because I wasn't really an adult at that point. I think I stopped serving when I was 20. I served from 16 to 20, and it was my summer job every single year. And I worked full-time hours in the summer doing that. There's no debate in that. I can't remember a time I ever got seriously injured, though.
By the way, you mocked the question.
I mean, the man
who used to sit in that very seat got hurt while hosting a show.
He did. He fell off of a chair.
Yeah, our mentor, Adam, fell out of a chair. That happened at work, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel good about mocking the question. I feel good about mocking it. If you get hurt doing this job, that's the only way. A chair breaks is the only way. Or could you count like a voice injury? I've thrown out my voice. Does that count?
Absolutely, it does.
Then there we go. I've thrown out my voice.
Now all of a sudden, you're not such a big boy.
I had to take a couple days off throwing out my voice. A couple different times. How about that?
So 5 hours solo. I did it like once a year. Even when I hosted solo at the end in Charlotte for 4 hours a day, I could not keep my voice. Now that I have a partner, a consistent partner for the last 3 years, I'm okay. But yeah.
Yeah, I usually have. It was early in my career that I threw my voice out, and now I've learned how to take care of it much better.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, an NBA reporter, a Cavs and NBA reporter, he had the sense that the Cavs might be listening to offers for Jarrett Allen and Darius Garland. We'll get to the bottom of that with Fedor in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.